Father. Thank you, Lord, for another day, for another time of fellowship, worship, Lord, and to be sitting under your feet and learn of you. As we sit before you now, Lord, under your feet, we want to thank you, Father, for this great salvation you have given us. And a great gift that you've given us in opening our eyes, O Father, to that precious word of life. Help us, Lord, not to take it for granted, like nominal Christian, to say, oh, I have salvation in Christ Jesus. I have grace, and that's all I need. And yet, turn away from following your word. Father, Lord, we ask that your grace will continue to give us greater insight, Father, and understanding of your precious word of life, to treasure it, to understand it, that we may be strong, Father, because of something great that is coming in our lifetime. There's going to be pressure and squeeze coming on from in different manner, not just from religious organization, Lord, but the pressure from the financial sector, the political sector also, Lord, and not forgetting the military as well. The pressure in this world will increase, Father. There's going to be a lot of distress among nations. But we know, Father, Lord, this thing must be. But Lord, we know, for those that keep your word, you give them a blessing. Even through the trials that each and every one of your people have to go through, you will bless each and every one of us and keep us, Lord, till we see Christ face to face. Now as approached, I will once again, Father, your blessing with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And let us go now to the book of James, chapter 2. We thank God for this word of life. Last week we dealt with the last few verses of scripture from chapter 1, verse 19 to 27, touching on the not just being hearers of the word, but the doers of the word. And certainly for those who have heard the word of God and not doing it, is a man who is actually deceiving himself, who take for granted that, well, he's all right. Nothing's wrong with him. And he just turned away from following the word of God. So we thank God that his word is true. And we need also in the last part of that chapter about to bridle our tongues, not to deceive our heart in the things that we say. You know, and if we do not bridle our tongue and we say things that is not right, we find that our religion is vain, because we can say one thing and then we start saying a lot of things which is, well, not in the scripture. Like as I said before, it's all right if you are not baptized. It's all right if you are not baptized in Jesus' name. It's all right if you want to believe in the Trinity. It's all right if you don't take foot washing and things like that. That is the kind of thing that you shouldn't be saying, which of course the denomination has been saying, and of course in the end time message people, we who follow the truth of the word of God, many times we said, well, this is not important. I have people who send me email like that, and even from preacher who spoke to me personally, he said, if what Brother Branham never taught, it means it's not important for us. Therefore, those parts of the Bible Brother Branham don't touch upon, we can cut it up and throw it away then. And that kind of foolishness, that kind of religion is in vain. Somebody wrote me an email from Africa and said, Brother Gang, can you tell me about this man called Coco Philip? You know, I said, well, what do you ask me? And I said, you can go and look on his website, listen to his sermon, read his teaching, and you judge for yourself. People want my opinion about this man who's a preacher, that man is a preacher in Nigeria. There's all kinds of preacher, charismatic preacher, well-known preachers on the internet, on the YouTube, and there's also those Ivory Coast from Liberia, Ghana, and all these various places claiming to be the messenger. You know, anyway, I sent him a link. I said, look on this on the YouTube and judge for yourself. The man believed, and he was, you know, put on a video concerning himself with a woman interviewing him, and I think that the woman is just part of his own people in the church acting as an interviewer, so they make this video and put it on the website. It's very simple to know that the man is a big deceiver. He just say that you know, there is no messenger except me. I'm the one who is the messenger now, and because God called me and God ordained. He said, all those preachers out there, the pastor, evangelists, they are not ordained. They are all, because only God ordained prophets. You know, and he said, prophets, apostle today, prophet today, all this, all the other day, they are not ordained. So, you know, all the things that he said. He said, everybody must listen to him, and he has the word of life. You know, there's a whole lot of things that people are following in Africa, and they do not know what they're believing in. Because there are a lot of people, they are poor, they do not understand. And that's why they get easily deceived by these deceivers. That's why it's so important that we listen to the word of the Lord, understand the word of God. Because that's what the Bible tells us to. You know, because the Bible says that all the word of God is inspired by God. Profitable for doctrine and so on and so forth. You see, the Bible should be our absolute, not the words of a man. No man's word is absolute. Is that right? It has to be the man who is prophesying something. It's not teaching about doctrine. If it's prophesying, thus said the Lord, tomorrow is not going to rain. Though tomorrow the weather will be 50 degrees Celsius. And it comes to pass, then he is a true prophet who prophesies the truth. But that doesn't mean that his prophecy that come true doesn't mean that his teaching will be all 100% correct. Because Jenna and Jambos could do the same. Because as Abraham said, God don't measure in the minors. Is that right? Healing, miracles, whatever the men have to give, they're all minors. What is the measure that you cannot take? And that's what the devil run away from it. Huh? That is the word of God. This is the major thing that we must think about. It's only one thing that withstood the test of time. And it will withstand what's coming. Is that right? So this is what we are looking at today. Alright? So, let us go to chapter 2. Verse 1 to 4 now. And again, there's all three parts here. My brethren. Remember again, as usual, James used the word my brethren. My beloved brethren. Somebody he related to. It's not somebody out there who are not related to him by faith. So my brethren here, as you know, he was writing to the 12 tribes of Jewish people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were scattered out there, so he called them my brethren. Alright. Meaning to say my Jewish brother, and yet also related to my brother in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glory, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that wear the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourself, and are become judges of evil thoughts? In the first verse, James said, do not have the faith, or do not make the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the faith that you have. Don't make the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to person. Have not the faith. Sounds, because this is King James English. Alright? Don't have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to person. Then don't have it that way. When you have the faith of Jesus Christ, then in that faith, all people you should respect. That's why he said, you don't show partiality to the different kind of people that comes into the meeting. You're right? We look at the meeting, the assembly, as one that anybody can come. We don't forbid people to come into the fellowship because he's not dressed right or he's not of our faith, things like that. The assembly is where anybody can come in. Even a sinner, even a person who is a beggar can come in. So here, don't show any disrespect or partiality to anyone when they come into the service. So he gave an example, but if they come into your assembly, a man with gold ring, in goodly apparel, and they came in, also the poor man in vile raiment. Now that sounds terrible too, right? So vile raiment has been vile as in, no, the word vile means just filthy. Or maybe it also means poor. Alright? Cheap clothing. So, and I think it is very true that there is always this religious problem. Not only today, but back in those days, you find that it's being practiced among the Pharisees group, the Sadducees group, the religious group. Even today, it is practiced that way in many churches. When ushers, or when a pastor, minister, or elder sees somebody rich came in for the first time, they want to size up the man and get him a place to sit. You know, usually though in churches today with the big building, they always have ushers, you know, to lead them in to the pew, to the pew. So you see, sometimes they see a man who is rich on all this, no need, the usher comes in, the deacon saw them and might even just lead them to a better place to sit. But though it may not be obvious today, but they still do exist, but in back in those days, the place is not usually getting in the home or in the courtyard. So not in the church building like we have. So there is always some place where you can have there are proper seats, some place you just perhaps be sitting on the floor. You know. And that's the example that here we have James give the example to the one who is in godly apparel. He said that you have respect to him, they wear the gay clothing. Now the gay clothing also sounds bad. You know, today we have gays, you know how they dress, how that certain style of dress, you know, brinkles, that you've got a brinkle? It's brink, You know, there are certain kind of brink or things that they wear that kind of signify that what sort of person they are, you know. And so, when you talk about gay clothing here, it means bright clothing, rich clothing, expensive clothing. And I said to him, you sit down here in a good place. This is a place where you can get, you know, nice place, nice, comfortable. Maybe there is a cool breeze around your place here. So sit over here. And then you say to the one that is, who is poor, you say, you stand over there. Oh, sit down in my, at the foot, under my feet, under my footstool. You know, sit beside my footstool. So you are showing partiality of people coming into the church of God. Now, here we have this verse which we know that God is without respect to a person. Now, this verse has sometimes been misused by even denomination. We know that God is no respecter of person. What does that mean? But people in the denomination have taken it is that, oh, God has no respecter between a man and a woman. Well, okay. And he said, then they were further to say that if God allowed a man to be a preacher, then he allows a woman to also be a preacher. So now they are saying, they are using that, God is no respecter of person, interpreting it in this way. Allowing a woman to be a pastor. You know, allowing a woman to be an elder. No, that's not what the Bible said. God is no respecter of person as far as salvation is concerned. As far as you asking Him for gift is concerned. As far as you asking Him for a blessing is concerned. He's not a respecter of person. But when you have set down rules and regulations in the church, when you have set down laws in the world, as to the gift that is given to man, ordination of man for the ministry, woman is not given, you cannot say the woman is given. That's an obvious fact. You see. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you are black, yellow, brown or white, God is no respecter of person. Salvation is there, blessing is there, and He will give when you ask. Alright? So, now, these words are easily understood. Isn't it so? These four verses are very easy to understand. Even the fourth verse, are ye not then partial in yourself and are become judge of evil thought? So we know that these four verses are simple to understand. But the problem is not, it's not just understanding it. It is the application of it. Do you get it? You see. We are to apply it. Now, well, there have been the, well, people wrote things and people say things that I've heard over the years, and even I have witnessed it. The partiality in showing respect to the rich is always there. You see, somebody who's rich coming into the church, you wanted to get close to that person. And I know this to be true in end time message churches here in Singapore. There, the man who make himself a pastor one would suck it up, you know, suck up to the man or the woman who is rich. And the other thing is not only just rich, it's because the problem is the carnality of a person. If the pastor sees somebody, especially a sister, or it's a new sister that came in, a new believer that comes in, oh, she's pretty, she's good looking. And you find that this person will always go near to that sister and talk to the sister, you know. Well, that's where the flesh comes in. Because it not just show respect to a person as to whether he's rich or poor, but some of the people can do it because he's pretty. Now, we know that by sight, if we look at two persons, two women for that matter, or two men for that matter, and one of them is better looking and the other one looks terrible, your senses will definitely have this feeling, ah, the guy is really terrible looking. You would not want to talk to him much. You would not want to talk to a person who is better looking, things like that. It's natural. You see. And that is where we should not be doing that. We should treat everyone in the church as equal. And it is said that, oh, well, you know what? Somebody asked a chaplain one day, because he is a general or something, I believe. Ask a chaplain of, you know, whether he's in the army, you always have a chaplain. I believe this guy's a general, major, what? Anyone asking the chaplain, he's not a Christian, ask the chaplain, he said, can I ask you a question about going to hell? Because he wasn't a Christian. And the priest said, before you answer the question, I must first tell you this. If you ever think of going to heaven, I want to let you know, when you get up to heaven, you are not a general. You will never be a general, because there is no general in heaven. You see, you want to make sure that you are understood. And but there are people who think, oh, I'm rich, I'm a captain, I'm a pilot, I'm a scientist, I'm a professor, I have a PhD, THD, whatever. You think you go up to heaven, you have anything to show to God, to boast about? In today, here in the earth, on the earth, you can. If you're a doctor, you can show all your degree on the wall in your office. Or you can put your whole long list of degree behind your name. But in heaven, no. And in among here, if any of you who is a PhD, who is a professor here, you are still a brother. I won't call you professor. Or if you are a doctor, I won't call you doctor. How are you today? No. You understand what I'm saying? You are here in the eyes of God. You are just a member in the body of Christ. You see. And so that is easy how it's applied. So when people look at the rich, they think that there's more tithes coming into the box, into the church. And that's pretty true. I remember back in those days. Even Sister Tracy told me one time when he was even in the Presbyterian church. You see, you are given an envelope to put your money in, put your name, how much? This is what was being done. Where I came from, and usually in many of these churches. So the pastor would know who give his tithes and who do not give the tithe. And in this case, my wife said that the following Sunday, the pastor used to announce, or whoever was supposed to be doing this, announced the tithe that came in. And they mentioned the name of the person. So the person who gave, $1,000 or $500, the name is Red Rat. And if you give $20, $10, $5, your name is not mentioned. You see, that is showing partiality. Huh? So you want to make mention of this so that the man who is rich feel good. Oh yeah, my name is mentioned, I could give more, and so it must be important. And they have forgotten that what Jesus said when he went to a temple, the woman, compared to a woman and to the man who is a very religious man, when he put the money into the box, it was a show off. And the woman, how much did she give? Only 2 mites, right? And that 2 mites is all that she had. But the rich man had the whole lot. He might be a millionaire, and he gave 1 million, that is nothing, because he's a multi-millionaire. You see. So the God wants us to practice this, or not just say, yeah, we understand. Alright? I remember one time a brother here in our fellowship. At one time, back in many years ago, he told me, he said, I might need to go to Japan and work. He asked me, he said, what advice can you give me? I said, well, no, if you go over to Japan to work, your family must go with you, right? He said, yeah. So I said, okay, your family go with you. No, Japan is a different culture. Your children, you have to start learning Japanese. Obviously, go to Japanese school, and there's no church for you to go in this entire message, as far as I know. So you have to go to one of those churches. That's all I can tell you, that you're going to face an uphill test. So, but we will adjust. So, okay, sure, of course, you can adjust. Then he asked me this question. Whether he was asking this question to test me, or whether whatsoever is in his mind. He said, Brother Ken, where would I send my tithes to? I caught the spirit. You want me to say, send it to me? I never ask people to send the money tithes to me. I'm not interested in your tithes. Because your tithes do not belong to me. Belongs to the Lord. I told him, I said, brother, I just simply give him what Brother Graham said. I said, you know the scripture. And you know what Brother Graham said? You send your tithes to where you get your food. Remember Brother Graham said that? Give a tithe to where you get your food. Because he said, I will get my the sermon from, because back in those days we don't have the website. No internet, nothing. So we have only the books of Brother Branham and tapes of Brother Branham. You know, he said he will get the book from Brother Branham and tapes. I said, you give the tithe, you send the tithe where you get the food. You know, I'm not a person that you can trick me with all these crazy questions. People ask me, who are you, Brother Gann? You make yourself smarter than Brother Branham. I said, whoa, I'm that stupid. I'm a nobody. Because they said, you're somebody more important than Brother Branham. I said, no. I said, I'm nobody. I'm Jesus God, make me a Christian, a somebody who is a Christian. Are you the messenger? Better than Brother Branham. Did I say that? Are you trying to put your words into my mouth and spread all those lies? I said, no, I'm not. I'm just an apostle of the Lord. You know, the thing is that the human beings are so calm that give so much respect to Brother Branham that they have not even recognized the rest of God's servants around the world. Do you understand? You see. You know, when Paul, he was not even a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not the original 12. Yet when Christ called him, and after some 3 years out in the desert, being taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ, and after his ministry started, he had respect to the apostles, respect to the elders in Jerusalem. Even though he does not agree with them, he did not want to say anything, because he waited for the time to come when he will open his mouth. So one day, you know about Peter's reign of hypocrisy. He did not hesitate to rebuke him in front of the elders. After all, you know Peter, what he had done, is well known among the elders who worked with him, and had caused the dissimulation even the way that Barnabas behaved. You know, and then I believe that Peter shut his mouth knowing that he was wrong. And I think that it's good that when you're wrong, keep quiet. And you're going to think about your action, why the person rebuked you. If it is true, it is true. If it's not true, then you can defend it. And Peter knew he was wrong. Because the other ones, damn, Barnabas was damn. Barnabas, you know, Paul knew his behavior came from Peter. Well, you know, Peter was older than Paul, I told you that. Well, he respects Peter, but he doesn't show partiality. Oh, Peter, he's a big guy, so I better not speak. I better get my mouth shut. No. Truth is truth. Lie is always a lie. In a church here, or in any church, well, we have a small group here, but if you go to a big church, like about 500 people, for example, you know what you see? You will see those who are Indian will sit together. Okay? And those who are Filipino, they would like to sit together too. You know? And it is very natural, because it is what happened over in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. There are those Persians that came down, Persian Jews, they came down to worship, and they were grouped together. And those who were from Alexandria, when they came down, they were also grouped together. You see, if you were a farmer, you would like to mix together. Something in common, right? Yeah. And you see kids, there are a lot of the teenagers were grouped together. It's very natural. That's alright. God doesn't, the Bible didn't say that you cannot. You know. But don't gang together and say that we are better than the other group. No, there's no such a thing. We all tend to see that we, you know, melt into the group that sort of gel with us. Or gel, we can gel with them because of something of common interest. Alright. So now in verse 4, James said, therefore, if you are not patient in yourself, and you have become the judge of evil thoughts. That's true, isn't it? Judge of evil thoughts. Thinking the bad, rich person is rich. What? Let's see what James said further now in next verse 5 to verse 9. How come my beloved brethren, again he emphasized, my beloved brethren, he is concerned with his Jewish people who are, well, in the faith. Have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which have promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to person, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressor. Oh, interesting. How do you define a person is rich? How do you define a person is poor? Define what is rich, what is poor. Can you do that? So, you know, to me, today, at this present time, I consider myself rich. Why? Because I have the things I have. And yet, compare myself to somebody else who earns $10,000 a month and have a property, a private property, land, what do you call that, not condominiums, terrace house, what do you call that? Private property, that's bungalow property. Land of property, yes. That's multi-million dollars worth. And he has Mercedes Benz. Okay, couple of servants. One to cook for his meal. One to wash his clothing. One to sweep the floor. A gardener to take care of the garden. One to, you know, take his dog out. And so on and so forth. Now, if I compare myself to them, I'm poor. Is that alright? Because I don't have those things. Now, if a lot of people out there in Africa or India or even the Philippines, they will think that I'm rich because I have the things that we have because of our economy in the first place. You know, I look back to the time when in the 60s, 50s, 60s, you know, I was a kid, pretty. I don't know what is rich and poor, you know what I mean? You mix with people that have a lot of food to eat, we don't have. You don't think much about it. It's only that, well, my mom and dad could not afford it. That's all I know. Isn't it? That's a fact, isn't it? We don't realize what is rich or poor until we grow older, and then we begin to say, oh, this guy has these things and has a lot of money, can buy things. And we don't have the kind of money to buy this, so we must be poor. But when you was young at that time, I don't know why it's poor to me. We're just running around playing and we all enjoy ourselves, right, brother? Huh? You know. So, that when you grow up and you work hard, then you realize, oh my, money is not easy to come by. You struggle. But where this person, he's born into a rich family. I wasn't born in a rich family. Huh? I was just wondering then, if my father had not had that disease of a papillary ulcer, which was not possible to be dealt with in surgically, because at that time they have no X-ray, but no bilirubin X-ray, could not see it. Therefore, they don't know what to do with it. And my father was in pain, suffering. Until in the late 60s, then when that burial men came in, then they saw what was happening. And my father at that time lost all his investment. He has investment. He had his own grocery shop. You know what this grocery shop? Big grocery shop. Right there in Killiney Road. Even though where Killiney Road Kopitiam is, next two, three houses or unit is just where my father's shop is. You know, but when he lost everything, my mom went out to work as a domestic help with the British, you know, family, the Angzu. You know what Angzu is? Australia, New Zealand, UK, armed forces in Singapore. Back in those days. You know. So I was wondering, my father don't have that problem. Wow, we would have a lot of things. My father was busy, you know, I went with him, he went to collect some money here and there and all sorts of things. So at that time, I know, he always took me up to display. No, you know, I was just wondering things will be different, so to speak. So rich, how do you quantify it? Alright, so if you are born in a family, you're rich. You're born in a poor family that's poor, then you're poor. But if you are in the country, the culture, like here in Singapore, I mean, we have good system. People are rich, huh? Generally, right? The other country look at Singapore as rich. You have. But they do not know there are still those poor people out there starting to sell 3 packets of tissue paper for $2. So they earn some money. Right? Or selling whatever they could to get some money. But because the nation is considered rich, so we are rich. But what about your influence of friends? What about friends? If you are with the friends that are, you know what to do, and they can help you because you're good with them, so you're considered rich. You know, I remember one time, sometimes I look back, I can just see human reasoning. When I was in secondary school, I have two friends in my mixed block of unit. One of them is from Raffles School, one of them is from St. Joseph Institution. So we used to go and play football and, you know, badminton, whatever, very often. So when we go out into the town, Waterloo Street. If you know what Waterloo Street is, West Boston Road at that time, where there's a whole row of shops that sell second-hand books. Alright? Waterloo Street, there is a park. And there is always have an Indian man with the push cart selling Indian rojak. And man, his Indian rojak was so special. Very tasty. You don't find it today. Today is all this, you know, hawker food, it's just third class now. It's terrible. But those days we used to go out there and play and all this, and for 30 cents, or you know, those days big men, 30 cents we can get a nice plate of rojak. You know, I don't have the kind of money, you know, and so we want to play, and so after the football and all this, so we go there and then we eat. And one of them will ask, he said, "You want to eat?" I said, "Sure." I mean, if he asked me, "I want to eat," I said, "Sure." You know, he says, "Okay, you'll get me some." You know, so this went on for maybe 3 or 4 times. You know, he asked me, "He give me a treat. You want?" So one day he told me this. He said, "You know, I have been giving you all this treat." He said, "Yeah, I'm paying you for it." I said, "I'm paying you for it." And then he said to me, "You know, you should, when I ask you whether you want it, you should say no." I said, "Why?" Goodness me, you offer me a treat and you want people to say no, so you act that you are a good guy to say, "I give the guy a treat," but he said no. When you give somebody a treat, don't expect him to say no. If you expect him to say no, then you better not open your mouth and ask him. Because he's gonna say yes. You know, so from that time on, well, you know, we go and play after that, we finish, you go one way, I go another way. You can go eat and then move away. Now, what a friend is that? I didn't come because he's my friend, because he's rich. No, because we were neighborhoods. You know. And we played badminton together. And in fact, one of them, the other one, I was given a badminton racket. A gift. A very nice Memento record, Dunlop. In those days, that was an expensive record given to me. You know, we played all that, and that man, he was young. His father was rich. Rich company, Overton, I remember. And you know what? He borrowed my record. I said, why? I said, this is my precious record. No, you don't want to bring it. Don't worry. He played with it, borrowed it, and he came back. He said, I'm sorry about this. You know what happened? The record broke off. You know, it's metal, huh? Metal in the center. It broke off, and he wowed it. He went in for a shouldering. And there was one piece of lump of lead or iron there. Make the whole record different. So I'm so sorry. Let me give you, I think he gave me maybe like $4 at that time or something. You know, it broke my heart. He's a rich person, rich family. He knows my family are poor. This record was special because he gave it to me. I believe I can't remember now the employer of my, who employed my mother to, you know, to clean the house, the British. So I was just thinking, why? You break my head and then you weld it and then give me $4. That record is now worthless. You see, sometimes it's not the rich that is good. The rich people are using many times that they don't treat you fairly. And here, you know what? James is saying, he said, now, verse 5, how come my beloved brethren have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? The poor of this world doesn't mean that God simply chose the poor people only. You understand? But he was saying that the poor in this world, they are special in the sense that because they are poor, their faith, they always rely on God. They don't rely on material things. You get what I mean? A lot of people say, all the things that I have, I earn it with my own hand. I work hard with it. That's why I'm rich. Not because God bless me. Oh, if only they didn't know. If their health is down, what do they have? That is not why when you talk about the blessings of God, it is not about money. The blessings of God, to me, the most important thing is health. Money cannot buy health. Do you know that? God will give us help if you know what blessing is. You see, so, and he said that God has chosen this poor, this world, rich in faith, because they don't rely on material things, they rely upon God, they learn more of God, they trust in God, and their faith is grown and they become rich. Rich in faith. That's why I said, if my father had not had the problem, and you know, it's what to do, investment and all that. I don't know what would happen to me today. I don't know what would happen to all my brothers today. Because it's true, because things change based on condition. Now, that's the same thing today we can talk about our nation. If Lee Kuan Yew is not the Prime Minister, if he did not want an election and Body some Socialist came to power, what Singapore would not be what it is today. Is it not true? That's a fact. And if Singapore is not kicked out of Malaysia, that is another story as well. You know. You see? Pride will always come with a fall. And that's what happened to America today. It's fallen. And Abraham said, I no longer pray for her. Neither do I pray for America. Huh? They can say, in God we trust. God bless America from sea to shining sea. And I don't think it is true anymore. Back in the days of the Quakers, in the early days of the Pilgrims, yes. God bless America from sea to shining sea. And that is true, but not today. Next. Verse 6. But ye have despised the poor, do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seat. That's kind of strange, huh? Does it mean the rich man, you know, would take you to the court? But in those days, it's very common, and you can see those things happen. You know, taking people to court. Let's look at Matthew 5. verse 3. Some of these verses we read, chapter 5, verse 3. And I think we all know this very well. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Now, here I want to emphasize this word. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, this is the only place you read it like this. Poor in spirit. It's not a correct word, actually. Blessed are the humble. But you know, I'm rich in spirit. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, that's applied to me now. You know what I'm saying? Poor in spirit, in what sense? It's a word that means to say, actually, it's not quite properly translated, actually, because it's King James. And people, a lot, even the other King James versions stick to it. And other versions stick to it because it sounds nice. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means the person is humble. His spirit is humble. Okay? You understand? That's what it means. Now, the King James is not applied that when you are saying you are rich in spirit, it means you are proud. But that's kind of strange, huh? But do you know something? Every one of us here who are born again, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know that you are rich in the Spirit of God? You know what I'm saying? So we are all rich in the Spirit of God. But we are humble. We should be humble. That's what it's supposed to be. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Humble in spirit. So else, you know what? Only the poor people are saved. People like Brother Joseph, Brother Henry, oh, we won't be saved because we have money. Huh? You know, you see, those people out there begging, they are the poor ones. They want to ask for alms, they are the poor ones. So blessed are they. And people like us, you know, no, we don't want to get blessed. That's not what it means. So they see the way the translation sounds fine. Even as we read earlier, gay clothing. Huh? It's King James language. But today, what gay has another sense. Okay, so we need to understand it properly. Alright? Let's go back again to James. Alright? If you have despised, verse 6, if you despise the poor, do not the rich oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat. This may not seem to be real to a lot of people. But let's turn over to an example like, let's go to Matthew 19:24 anyway. Matthew 19:24 and another verses, 19:24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Alright, and then let's go to verse 16 to 30. Okay, verse 16, we should read verse 16 onward anyway. Here is this about rich young ruler. And behold, one of them came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father, thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which you have, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Then said Jesus unto the disciple, very, very I say unto you, that the rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God. Again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. When the disciple heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and follow you. What shall we have thereof? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So the spirit of the rich is how to get to the kingdom of God. And it is true, the rich sometimes, when you know they oppress the poor, if the poor cannot pay them what they owe, they will bring them also to court even. And we know that here in Singapore we have cases where a rich family, after the parent passed away, the siblings fight among themselves for their properties. You see. And truly, like this rich man, Jesus said, it's fine, hard to go into the kingdom. He had kept the law, he had kept the commandment, everything. What did he lack? Now, that's one thing I think that we should always remember. That's why the commandment, the Ten Commandments, all the commandments, whatever that the Jews practicing, cannot actually save a person. They only show them that they are sinners. That's why they need to keep this and behave right. And that they should be aware that they need a Savior. And the Jew knew about that. But even when Jesus came and showed them that, yet they cannot see. The rich man have done everything. He said, what do I lack then? Jesus said, sell all you have now and follow me. That's one thing he cannot do. And Jesus said, if you can leave your father, leave your mother, leave your wife, leave your husband, leave your land, leave everything and put Christ first and follow him, then you are inherit mighty fold. And you will rule with him in the millennium, in the age of regeneration. But today, no. They fight hard. Many people fight very hard. Acts 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 14. And when they depart from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. Now this is Paul and Barnabas. Okay? They've been traveling around. And this is Antioch. Now this Antioch is not in Syria. There are two Antioch in the Bible. One is this Pisidia, which is in Turkey, Asia Minor. Okay? Not far from the Cyprus island, on the northwest. So they went there, and out in verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue said unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So Paul stood up, and buckling with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, and exhort the people whom, when they dwell as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high hand brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. So Paul gave them a history. And when he had, when God had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man seed have God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his cause, he said, "Whom think ye that I am? And I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet are not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fear God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For there they dwelt Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desire they, Pilate, that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, and laid him in the sepulchre. And God raised him up from the dead, and he was seen many days of them, which came out with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the Father, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, and it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, and has concerning that he raised him up from the dead, so no more to return into corruption. He said to this wife, I will give thee the sure mercy of David. Wherefore he said also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy holy one to seek corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was led unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest thou that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despiser and wonder and perish. For I work the work in your days, the work which you shall in no wise believe, though the man declared it unto you. But when the Jew were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentile besought that this word might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing that you put it from you, and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentile. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. But when the Gentile heard this, they were glad and rejoiced and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stir up the devout and honorable woman and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast, and shook of the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And you see what happened here? This is what happened, as James said. The rich and the honorable men, those people who are rich, they will take you, they will try to take you, they will try to kill you, or take you to court. Now, Paul and Barnabas, they were men, apostles. They were there, they had nothing with them. Because they traveled, they walked, they preached. You know, like we would say, like Abraham, wherever he walked, he doesn't carry anything with him. They're apostles, they don't carry anything with him. They just preach, they depend on the people to feed them. These are rich people here. The honorable woman, chief men of the city. Oh yes, I have been reported to the CID, you know that, don't you? You know, when the man failed, he's a Pharisee to me anyway. who believe what he believes is true. The glory, the glorious reformation. When he heard, when he found that I believe Brother Abraham, immediately he tried to get me into trouble with the government. So he couldn't, with the paper he wanted to write an article and expose me, he couldn't do it, even though he used some journalists to talk to me. And if the man who's a Methodist who interviewed me realized that he had nothing to write about. Next week, following week, I was given a summon to appear in CID. And I went to CID, I knew what was going on. You know, but I was prepared, and I took some book with me. And they say, oh, we were told, we were informed that you are a leader of a cult. You are a cult leader. I said, wow, interesting. I said, what is a cult? You know, I'm talking to that inspector at the CID, you know. And finally found that he, you know, there's nothing to charge me with. I said, here, this is my book. You can read it. If I have been doing anything illegal, the government will already know it, because this book are being sent to the government department under MITA. And now it's called what? And now it's called MIC, media, oh, I don't know what it can do. And if all the publication, the video, whatever it is, okay, is under that department. And even now my website is even known to them. So you see, I said, if I've done anything wrong, that's what they will already know. You know. So you ask me, write a statement, okay. Do you molest women? Do you, molest children? Do you cheat the people of their money? Do you undermine the government? And all the statement, no? To the minister said. So that's the end of the story. Okay. You know one thing? You cannot put a curse on someone as God says, the person who don't deserve a curse, you curse him 100 times so he's useless. He would not have any effect. But when you curse someone, be sure that you know what you're doing, or else the curse comes flying back like a boomerang. A lot of people think they just can simply go and curse people. Oh my. Alright, let's go on. The next last few verses. Verse, okay. Verse 7, do not dare blaspheme the worthy name by which you are called. God is true, isn't it? And I was just wondering about this Presbyterian Pharisee who tried to get me into trouble with the law. You know, he's actually blaspheming, you know. The name by which he was called, he think that he was a Christian also. So not all Christians are Christian. You must always understand it. Alright? But if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, love your neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you respect the person, you commit sin. And that's what the person is. You know what? Whatever the people believe out there, we don't agree with them, we don't go and meddle with them. You know what I'm saying? They have done nothing wrong. They want to believe that God is 4, 5, or 6, doesn't matter to us. We don't have to go out and tell the law, hey, these people believe they've got 5 gods. What's wrong with that? That's nothing to do with the government. You have the right to believe whatever you want. If you believe that a horse is God, you can go and worship the horse. Is that right? In India, they believe that the sun is God. They worship the sun, then they went blind. See? But if you call yourself a Christian, oh, if you're rich and you do that to people, don't forget. You're blaspheming. The word blasphemy doesn't mean to say, you know, as a, in a bad, in the sense that you blaspheme the name of God in that way. But it means to say that you have disgraced your faith by your action. You know what I'm saying? I don't agree with the teaching out there in these churches. I can write about this error and their teaching, but I don't have the right to go and kill somebody, a brother in the face, and say, you're going to hell because you believe that God is true. You're going to hell because of this. Like people say, like what we have the Roman Catholic says when they put it out there. Huh? Yeah, if you don't believe that God is a Trinity, you're going to hell. If you don't believe that God is a Trinity, you don't have salvation. You see the kind of thing that they are saying. The Bible don't teach this sort of thing, you know. But that's sad to say, that's what people are doing. Alright. Let's go on. Verse 10 onwards. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of law, of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. But if you commit no adultery, yet you kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. And what is to kill? If you commit no fornication, and yet you kill, you commit. You are what we call as you are transgression of the law, right? So what is kill? I never kill a. Hey. You know this dagger eye? Dagger eye. If you are jealous, you are hate a brother. Okay? You already kill him. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Just if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you already committed. That's expansion. So what is fornication? You know there are fornication here. We know we're not talking about fornication just to look upon a woman and lust after. But there's a sense that the word of God, people misuse the word of God, fornicating the word of God with their own tradition and their own ideas. That is also transgressing against the law. Because why? It is no longer the physical act. It is a spiritual act. You understand what I'm saying? So speak you, so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. James 1:25. It says that we have read earlier, but whosoever look into the law of liberty and continue therein, he being not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The law of liberty. Romans 2 chapter 2 verse 12. For as many have sinned against the law, shall also perish. For as many as have sinned without the law, shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law, shall be judged by the law. How do we use liberty? Talking about liberty here. How do we use liberty? Let's go and read it in verse 12. So you speak, so you do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that have shown no mercy. And mercy rejoice against judgment. So, how do we use liberty? 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. How do we use liberty? You know that we all have liberty. You are set free. You are free. Free to do what? To transgress, to sin. So how do we use this liberty? That's why the love must come in. Because sometimes, you know, we don't know how to approach. We have the fear, but this fear about that. Now, if you live in California, right now, let's say we live in California, we heard about all this earthquake coming. What would be going on in your mind? You know this what Brother Hawtin said years ago with you know, I was talking to him about what Brother Branham said about what Brother Branham prophesied about California singing. And what those other extreme groups say, oh, get out of California, get out of California. And Brother Hawtin was telling me, you know, Brother Gain, they are telling us that we are not believers because we don't get out of California. Because you don't believe Brother Branham. You know, you ask, what do you think? You know, and I say, you stay wherever you want. You know, I believe God will tell you when you get up. Say, that's right, Brother Gain. I believe what even like he said to me about Sodom and Gomorrah. Before God sent the fire and brimstone down upon Lot, righteous Lot, he sent an angel to get him up. Say yes. But right now, we're already quite close. We have all these visions of Brother Tony and what we see in this science saying that, oh, it's going to go any time. But yet we have not heard anything about getting out. Alright? So what are you going to do? Are you kind of worried? Oh, they moved out maybe tomorrow. Your gut's going in your mind. You see, fear would do away with that perfect love that God has in you. That perfect love is God's word make real to you, that you can reciprocate to Him in reality of faith and faith towards fellow men and women. Treating men and women, believing God. So our relationship to God, our relationship with one another should be real. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So, in closing, let us go to Psalm 16. I just have this. Maybe it should be in Psalm 16. Psalm 18, rather. What is faith? There should be no fear. Faith should be used to trust in the Lord in everything that we can. And of course, our Christian walk is a daily process. We learn. We make mistakes. Sure. We learn. Learn to hear the voice of God. Huh? And pray in the Lord, you increase my faith. See? The more that you want to walk with God, the more will be the test on your life. Trials and tribulation will be more if you want to walk closer to the Lord. Because God is building you up. Because you know what? We do not know. Because the day will come when your faith, God might you, since you have built your faith so much, God, because God has done that in your life, you might be used to help others understand in a time of crisis. You know, I'm always so blessed when I see the Jewish people. I was looking at the YouTube and I look at the video. Even when I look at Jerusalem, there was a National Geographic a documentary on Jerusalem, 44 minutes long. Just to hear the story of what the city is so special to the Muslim, to the Jew, to the Christian. One another just think about what the Bible says about that place. A city built upon a hill, Mount Zion, and what the Jew were looking for. And you know, I'm a Jew, religiously. Spiritually, I'm a Jew. And I just think about what Abraham went through, what Isaac went through, what Jacob went through, what David went through to take that ark and bring it back. You know. You see, when I look at this, the Word of God, it's got to be real. And here, King David says in verse 16, chapter 18, verse 16, He sent from above, He took me, He drew me out of many waters, He delivered me from many, my strong enemy, and from them which hate me. For they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I know that King David was a man after God's own heart, the apple of his eye. And Jesus was the apple of God's eye too. And if Jesus was the apple of God's eye and we are his body, we are the apple of his eye. Be like King David. And the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hand, will have he recompensed me. Just liberty. How you do? Your life. How did it live that life? For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgment were before me, and I did not put away his statute from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore have the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hand in his eyesight. With the merciful the Lord will show thyself, himself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the flower thou shalt show thyself flower. That's what we should be. God will. If you are righteous, he will show you himself to you as righteous. If you are poor, pure, he will show himself to you as pure. The law of liberty works in God's spirit. Not our freedom. The word will make us to love him and to love one another. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down the high looks, the proud ones. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. When time is hard and bad and looks dim and dark, God will light it up the pathway for you. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to them that trust in him. For who is God? Save the Lord. Or who is a rock? Save our God. It is God that girded me with strength and make my way perfect. See? So in the last part of James, as we close, so speak you. Do you speak the truth? Do you speak about it? So speak you means so you confess. So you confess, so you do. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. So behave like one, act like one. As then they shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy. Then they show no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. So for those people you think the world they are not good, show mercy. And may the Lord help us all. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Teach us this day, Lord, and even give us your daily bread. The day will come and the day will go. As each day comes to our life, Father, the sun will rise, the sun will set. We go to bed, we wake up in the morning, and the routine starts over again. But Lord, let this day be a day of joy. Joy in your word. The perfect love of God. The law of liberty with which, O Father, you have given us. Enlighten our pathway in the life of Jesus Christ by which you have revealed to us, Lord. So, Father, we thank you today. Just bless us, Lord. your people. We pray that we be the apple of your eye. Forgive us all our weaknesses, our failure and dislike. We know, Father, Lord, the mistakes that we made. But I pray, Father, that we learn from those mistakes and grow in the strength of the Lord. Asking you, Father, to bless today now. In Jesus' name. Amen.